This is Spotlight on Lead Poisoning, brought to you by Southern United Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that works on environmental issues and helps people buy their own homes and fix their credit. Call them at 1-800-239-7379 or go on the web at southernunitedneighborhoods.org for more information. My name is Marie.
That the test is done. The screenings that happen really early. So those are before the child enters school. By the time the child enters school, I repeat, it can be explained in a lot of different ways. Oh, it's a little boy and he can't keep still, or oh, he's an only child, he's got a missing father and so he's acting out. Whatever the reason is that you decide to figure out at 5 years old why this kid has dysgraphia, or the mother didn't spend enough time with him, he's not learning quickly enough because nobody read to him at bedtime. There are probably other reasons that can be all put underneath the umbrella of environmental injustice. However, when it comes down to whether the child will be tested for lead poisoning, that is a specific ask, right? So even if they do take the blood, right, so, or something more universal. When you go and you, like say for instance, you are having an annual and you have to pee in a cup. They don't necessarily test you for pregnancy. They don't necessarily test you for anything that you aren't there for, right? So, although I do think they do test for pregnancy each time.
Yes.
So, maybe they're not testing for something else, right? So make sure. It's not gonna hurt you. It's not gonna hurt you to say, hey, you know what? I've seen something that might be a little different, or, you know, I'm here. If you're drawing blood anyways, you're testing for my cholesterol, you're testing for my blood sugar, test for lead. Just make sure, I know you can bill for it. It's not going to hurt anything. The blood is already drawn. It's another test that can simply happen.
All right. Thank you again.
And let me just say this to you, and you might be getting into this, Cornet, but this letter specifically that describes the lawsuit that A Community Voice and Justice and Beyond are involved with against Sewage and Water Board due to the levels of lead in the water. It says quite a disturbing statement, I believe, in the preamble of the first paragraph. It talks about that our lead level is worse than Flint, Michigan. Could that possibly be true?
So what happened after Flint's water changed, the proportion of children that were tested increased from 2% to 4%. At that same time, New Orleans, the proportion of children who were tested who had elevated blood lead levels was 5%. It's between 5% and 7%. And so we have a higher proportion of lead poisoned children than Flint did, even at the crisis level.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to mention three entities, and I'd like the panel to respond as to from their observation, research, readings, communication, what the response of these three entities are to the accusation of lead poisoning. Those three entities are the Sewage and Water Board, the city government, and the local media. What is the official response from each? And in describing their official response, what evidence do they present?
That's a loaded question. The Sewage and Water Board, I have to say that the former, Cedric Grant, the former executive director, was not willing to work with us. It seems like there is some changes happening with the current Sewage and Water Board, but I haven't, you know, I have requested for information on where the maps for the lead service lines are, and have still to this day not gotten them. So there's still some issues with communication and with transparency there that I wish would work. But you know, the fact that healthcare providers are a little, you know, a decade behind what we know now as scientists, you can imagine that, you know, people that work at the Sewage and Water Board don't think lead is an issue. My dad was the director of the Sewage and Water Board, and I asked him, I said, Dad, why didn't anyone do anything about this? At the time, you know, they don't know that they're not educated about that. You know, these are water quality engineers. This is not their field. The city, I've also come under, I've come under fire from the city as well. They were not happy with my work, and so I've been, you know, excommunicated. because it sounds like I'm trying to wake people's awareness up about this issue. This is the one of the easiest things you can take care of. It doesn't cost as much as remediating paint or even soil. You can get a $15 filter, $20 filter. We are testing filters right now. This is really something that's very easy to take care of in terms of just exposure, reducing your exposure in water. Third person?
Media.
Media has been on my side, is always on my side. I was a little taken back by why there wasn't a lot of media coverage about the fact that the New Orleans, the prior New Orleans Office Inspector General put out a report with really amazing evidence showing that that the sampling done by the Sewage and Water Board is completely, it's inaccurate, it's not done in the manner that is required by the EPA, and so it can underestimate the amount of lead. This came out, it actually came out 2 years ago. The New Orleans Office of, the new New Orleans Office of Inspector General did not release it. The former Inspector General actually released it in December. No media about this, nothing in the news. It just came out on BuzzFeed and then it disappeared. I don't know why. I think, you know, Trump is, you know, it was bumped by Trump maybe. I don't know. It wasn't sexy at the time. So, but I do have to say that they have been very responsive.
The local media. Yeah. Even though they, the local media, even though they have, if I understand you correctly, they haven't publicized it. The local media have it. Local, I know BuzzFeed is not local, right?
Well, the that one I did approach some media people and no one's took it. And I think it was wrong. This really needed to come out and people needed to be aware of this report. And the fact that it was not released to the public was rather shocking to me.
We did have news media at several locations for schools. They did show up. We had Nolan Marshall helped us with the schools, and we did wind up with some filters put in place in some of the schools in the city.
So, if you think back, right, to the things that you might have heard on the news, every now and again you'll hear about Dr. Howard Mielke and his lead research. You'll hear about Dr. Adrian Kattner and how there are elevated levels of lead in the water. You'll hear about a school somewhere in town or out somewhere in the state that's found elevated levels of lead. The media does cover it. It just doesn't stay in the forefront because of, you know, the news cycle. It's not sexy. It's one of those things that happens.
To the panel, panelists, to the best of your ability, your assessment, your observation, your experience, from research, from studies, etc., what areas, what community, what neighborhoods of New Orleans are the lead pipes located in?
Well, I would like to answer that, and I've actually requested the data for that, but I've still not received it. So one of the things that I'm trying to, that Beth has really tried to help me with, is put in those, you know, those Public Records Act requests to get that information. I'm still waiting for the information. Something may have come to you guys that when I was away, but from my experience, it's all over the city. I was under the delusion that, well, maybe New Orleans East is fine, because what happened was they started to ban lead pipes in 1986. Lo and behold, I found very high lead in the water out in New Orleans East. So really, you know, this whole thing of, oh, New Orleans stopped using it in 1950, I have found no documentation or evidence to support that, nor did the Inspector General's office. So what I believe, what I firmly believe, is that it was used up until the time it was banned in 1986. In fact, my sister's house, who had one of the earliest, if you look, you can find a map online about when the service line was installed. It gives you an actual year. Based on that, my sister should not have had a lead service line because her house was created after 1986, but she did. I don't know what that means, but that's, so it tells me that it's been used all over the city.
Brother Kone, in 2 minutes, we have to move towards questions from the audience, so you
okay. Okay, well, what I'd like to do then is get to solutions. Solutions from the panelists. How is this what seems to be a monumental issue, and you all have undertaken it in your own ways? What are the solutions to the issue of lead poisoning in New Orleans?
Everyone says, "Oh, just remove the lead service line." Well, that's actually not a good idea. If you're only moving half of the lead service line, what's called a partial. The EPA advisory board determined that this is very dangerous and it may not necessarily help. You need to remove the entire line, but you could still also have some lead in your premise plumbing. What I advise people to do instead of spending thousands of dollars on that is to get a filter and to remember to replace your filter cartridge, you know, as it says on the box.
Will give you an indication of when it's no longer working so that you can replace it.
So from a legal perspective, the EPA has moved a little bit slower than the CDC. Additionally, in the state of Louisiana, we have a threshold that's over twice as much, three times as much actually, it's at 15, and it should be under 5 or 0. And so trying to get to a place where we can adjust the laws so that a little bit faster, a little bit more efficiently, so that they do reflect best scientific information, best practice, and best scientific available information.
Okay, I want to take this opportunity to thank the panelists. You guys have been extremely informative. And at this time, what we'd like to do is entertain questions from the gathering. Is that correct, Reverend Mann?
That is correct. We have some here. I know that Ms. Pepper Roussel has to go. And so please, audience, please join me in showing our gratitude for Ms. Roussel. Thank you. And thank you for your time. Other panelists, if you please stay where you are, and we're going to get to these questions that we have here. Again, if you have any questions, please put them in the buckets to the left and to the right of the stage. And remember, at this time, if you have written your name at the top of the index card, we will call on you to ask the question. You have 90 seconds to ask that question.
Thank you, Pastor. First, I'm going to start with Mr. Richard. Mr. Richard, come ask your question. Your name on the call.
Okay. Well, actually, I have one on filters, though, since you just talked about that. I think New Jersey had a problem recently. I'm speaking loud. But I noted, I actually looked into that. I looked onto the website that the people in New Jersey were seeing, what the community, because they were worried, because even with the filters, they started having problems for some people. And there was speculation it was because people had the hot water turned on at the faucet when they were using the filter. That was one of the speculations. Yeah. But no, let me finish.
Okay.
We're getting so hot here for so long. You know, I mean, it's August and September now. And I've noticed that the water coming out of my spigot, it's probably in the 80s. And that might be an issue. But that wasn't the question that I had on the card.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because this was a concern of ours.
Bleaching.
Yeah, after what happened in Flint, when we started seeing breakthrough of high lead levels through filters. And so that's why we're doing the study in the field, to evaluate when these filters work and under what conditions. So there's a lot of towns, rural towns in Louisiana, that have high iron and high manganese. And what we found is it's going to clog, it's not going to work, and you might see spikes and breakthroughs in the filters. So what we're trying to figure out is, under what conditions will the filter work? New Orleans, the lead levels that I see here, these filters are going to work. When the very cities that have very, very high lead levels, like we saw in Flint and we saw in Newark, New Jersey, It says on the filter that there's a break point. If you have over this amount of lead in your water, these may not work. And you need, that's when you need, the utility needs to start dealing and treating the water appropriately. But in New Orleans, what the levels I see here are low enough so that I'm very confident these will work. We're still waiting for the results for New Orleans, but we have the results so far for for Enterprise, Louisiana. They're fine, but they're not perfect.
But the aspect of leaching, for instance, if your filter is 2.5
Mr. months, Richard, you have 30 seconds.
2.5 months into the 3 months, say if you have a 3 month period, and somebody turns on the hot water, might that leach out the lead that's been caught by the filter in that 2.5 months, and then all of a sudden you have a surge?
Yeah, that definitely can happen. Now, you're supposed to replace that filter cartridge every 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And it may be more frequently if you have a lot of people in your home that are using the faucet a lot. If you don't have a lot of people in the home, it may be less than that. But, you know, these are details we're trying to figure out in the field. Right now, faucet filters only get tested in the lab under very controlled conditions. Well, that's not how we use it. So we're trying to find that out now. Again, this is the first test that's ever been done on filters in the field.
Okay, on the issue of solution, there's been some proposals. One that I've heard, it probably will not be popular in this crowd, is to privatize the sewage and water board. That's one solution that I heard. All right, let me mention a couple of others. Mass mandatory testing of everyone in New Orleans. And a third possible solution, a lawsuit.
All right, we're going to move to that solution section in just a minute as we get through with these questions, Brother Conan. So we're going to get through with these questions first, and we're going to move to action time. All right.
Mr. Richard, okay, would you like for me to ask these other two questions?
Yeah, and I have one on the back, but real quick.
Okay, I'm going to ask your one and move to the next.
Okay.
He asks, do we have lead main lines in New Orleans?
Those are galvanized iron. Actually, the Historic Society just found a wooden main in the French Quarter. My dad told me, I remember hearing about that, we use that. But no, we don't have lead mains.
Okay. Ms. Darlene?
No. It only kills the microbes.
Okay. Thank you. The next one says, we have learned recently that dementia and possibly Alzheimer's can be a result of lead poisoning, correct?
There is evidence suggesting that early life exposure and later life re-entry of the lead from the bone as it decays into the blood is associated with dementia and Alzheimer's. There's still more evidence that we need to collect on that. We don't have solid base of evidence right now, but it appears that that is likely.
Thank you. Does lead stored and found in an expectant mother cause death and overweight of a 9-month potentially healthy child?
Yes, this is the field that I'm most concerned about, is the reproductive outcomes. Even if a woman, you know, doesn't have high lead in her blood, once she becomes pregnant, lead acts a lot like calcium, and when you're pregnant, the child will absorb that because it thinks it's calcium. And so what we're concerned about is your lifetime exposure and then leaching it into your fetus, where it will go to the brain and cause problems. So yeah, it can cause spontaneous abortions.
Thank you.
Medicaid children do a better job, the providers do a better job of screening Medicaid children. I don't have any stats on that, however. Again, some doctors aren't aware that they're required to do that. They are they're required to test at 1, and I believe it's at 3 or 5. If they do find a high blood lead over 5, they're supposed to do follow-up testing and interview the mother or father to see what the source might be and to try to rule it out.
Thank you. Sunny? Is there any way locals can see the actual levels of lead and what is the current percentage of lead in our water?
Yes, you can request the data from the Sewage and Water Board. I have it, so I'll happily share it with you. And I mean, it should be transparent. Actually, there's revisions in the EPA's lead and copper rule to make those data transparent and available to the public. So I'm hoping that that is soon approved. But you can also get the information online through the EPA's Safe Drinking Water Information System, or SDWIS. Again, that was the Safe Drinking Water Information System. You can find the lead levels. Also, the DEQ, Louisiana DEQ, has that information also available. The database was down when I last looked. I don't know what's going on there.
So a couple of questions, follow-up questions to that. Number one is it a way to, because I'm still on this Flint issue and how our water level, our levels of lead is greater than Flint. Is there a way to put out some statistics that show these up against each other so that people can clearly see that, especially Sewage and Water Board, so that it's right in front of their face instead of just saying it, you can see that in those numbers?
So the problem is with, what is the source of those? Why do we have a higher percentage of children that have higher lead? It could be the soil, it could be the paint, it could be the water, it could be the toys, it could be a lot of other things. Mm. So we can't pinpoint and say it's the water. Okay. Our water lead levels are lower than what Flint saw. I mean, they saw levels, you know, up to 20,000 parts per billion. And what I'm seeing in Louisiana is between, you know, 1 and 10 mostly. I checked my water and I had 30, which was way above the, you know, double of the action level. I didn't even think to test it. I live out in Gentilly and I thought, maybe a newer home, you know. No, it's everywhere. So it's very hard to do that.
Okay. All right.
And the next part to the first question was, and what is a way that Sewage and Water Board can treat the water?
They are supposed to use corrosion inhibitors, orthophosphate. And what that does is it creates a scale on the inside lining of the lead service line, and that prevents that lead from leaching. As it gets hotter, the lead will leach more. When they go in and they start doing their work, they're taking out these lead service lines, they'll only take out what they own, which is from the meter to the main. They don't take out your side. And what that does is it actually can jar the lead service lines physically and remove some of that inner scale that then gets stuck into your premise, your home plumbing, which can become a long sort of endogenous source of lead over time. And that can create these spikes for weeks to months to even years, the EPA said. So that is what they're supposed to do with the orthophosphate, and that is why, you know, that scale, leaving that scale on is so important.
Okay, Mr. Capasso?
Okay. I actually remember the odds that the time is like
90 seconds.
Have you seen any in the United States or around the world of a top model for removal of lead and also testing? And do you see this as a possible, maybe a workforce could be created for lead removal?
Yeah, I think there are some model studies. I believe one was Madison, Wisconsin, where they've already removed 100% of their lead service lines. Don't quote me on that. I have to recheck it because I haven't looked at that. But I believe it was Madison, Wisconsin. And they came up with some very inventive financial schemes to create the money, you know, by selling billboards. I mean, just things like that to create the money to actually allow them to replace all of the lead service lines, the owners, and the other side.
And Dr. Ketter, I might be wrong, but doesn't our present executive director of Sewage and Water Board come from Madison, Wisconsin?
Do you,
Milwaukee. Okay, so, yeah. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. We do have a rural water infrastructure committee that's supposed to deal with these things. I wasn't asked to be on it. So they are trying to deal, you know, actually, New Orleans, we're doing pretty well with our water quality compared to these rural areas like St. Joseph and Enterprise that are really struggling and that have really bad water quality. We're talking about frequent boil water alerts all the time, problems with iron, problems with manganese, problems with Legionella, problems with other bacteria. We don't have that kind of a problem. We're very lucky. And so I think what the government is trying to do, what communities are trying to do is, how do we afford this? And then what are we replacing it with? Are we going to come in and replace it with plastic? And now we're learning a lot about the plastic lines. You know, what is the best type of plastic? Is it polyvinyl chloride? Is it something else? We're starting to learn about that, and so we might want to just wait, I say, until we learn more about the impacts of the other materials. And so that's why I talk about filters, because it's cheap, it's easy, you can have it now. There's all kinds of things in our water that we don't test for. I mean, our drinking water is from the Mississippi River. The Safe Drinking Water Act was actually created because of the organic chemicals that were found in New Orleans drinking water. And a lot of those things we don't test for. That's why I push filters, whether it's this one or reverse osmosis or whatever you can afford, because you want to make sure that the water you're drinking and you're cooking with is clean.
The next one is Mr. Ben. He asked, what is the connection of lead to Alzheimer's?
Well, actually, you answered that previously, I think. But there's a fine line between dementia and Alzheimer's. And in your initial opening statements, you mentioned dementia specifically, not Alzheimer's. And they used to say Alzheimer's was called by a room, and now I don't think they say that anymore. So that maybe I could clarify that you can refine the answer a little bit.
So I was born in the 70s when lead exposures were at their peak in America. So I have a little cognitive issue. So I don't always say everything that it might be related to. But what we're learning is it's cognitive problems in the elderly, which we, you know, are natural. You know, that's what we keep saying. They're natural. You will lose your cognitive abilities as you age. What does it do to, you know? That's a whole nother question that we're just trying to really learn.
and just one addition to that, you know, also in the Mississippi River, you mentioned that, we get all those farms, big commercial farms, there's a lot of used pesticides, and those pesticides are heavy metals, right?
A lot of the pesticides are organics.
Yeah.
And we don't test for all of them, so that's a problem. And that's why I keep pushing, get a filter, if you can afford it, whatever type. I think it will help. It will go a long way to help reducing your exposure to these chemicals that we don't even test for.
I wanted to ask, with the filters, how clean is the water from the lead once you put the filter on?
So what we've seen is a 98% reduction in New Orleans from the ones that the data have come out for so far. And we've actually seen about 95-98% reduction in St. Joseph. In St. Joseph, though, they only last a month or two, sometimes a week, because they have such high particulate levels in the water. So it's not going to be a good solution for them. In New Orleans, the ones where the data have come back so far, it looks like it does a really good job of reducing it. What we're doing, the data still isn't out, but what we did was we actually ran the filter way past its lifetime, the time where you're supposed to change the cartridge, because that's what everyone does.
Yes.
I do it.
Yeah.
No one thinks, remembers, unless you have that more expensive version that has the light. You just forget, or you can't remember when you last changed it. So we're going to be testing that, and hopefully we'll have the results of that soon. I'd be happy to come back and demonstrate or present those results to you guys.
Thank you, because the reason why I ask, noticing in a lot of the filters, you have like those cold pieces.
that collects the deposits and stuff. So to me, it's still like poison still there.
I mean, this is the very first field study of these filters. You do see some carbon come out. What you want to do is when you first get that filter cartridge, you want to run the water through that cartridge for about 5 minutes, a good 5 minutes with cold water. You don't want to use hot water with your filter. You want to always use cold water, always cold water. Okay. It's just better for lead, for metals and other things that might be in your premise plumbing to reduce that.
You have been listening to Spotlight on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. A recording of this broadcast and subsequent broadcasts are available at SouthernUnitedNeighborhoods.org.